an idea is an idea, and it can be great until it hits the reality of it. And then you have to respond to those people who you want to give you money for the product.
Hi, and welcome to the Green Business All-Star Podcast, where we interview environmental entrepreneurs and other environmental business leaders who are making a positive impact on our planet and a profit. Our guests share their stories of passion and determination, highlighting the environmental problems they're trying to solve and the innovative solutions they've developed. We explore different types of green business opportunities available to you, the tools, the resources to help you start your own green business or work for one. You can have a positive impact on the planet and also make a great living. It's time for you to live your life's purpose, make a difference in the world, and have enough money to enjoy it. Hello and welcome to the show. Hope you're having a great day and it gets even better as the day goes on. In this episode, I have the privilege of interviewing Lindsay McCoy, co-founder and CEO of Plain Products. Plain Products is a sustainable personal care brand founded by Lindsay and her sister. Company offers a range of eco-friendly hair and body care products, including shampoo, conditioner, body lotion, and hand wash, all packaged in reusable aluminum bottles. Lindsay shares her story about her beginnings in environmental education in the Bahamas to launching her sustainable personal care brand. She was motivated by the issue of single-use plastic pollution, as a lot of us are, so she created a range of vegan, non-GMO, cruelty-free, and biodegradable personal care products presented in refillable aluminum bottles. In this episode, you'll learn about the importance of sustainability in business, as we discuss the significance of integrating sustainability into business practices. You know, it's not enough these days just to have a good product. You need to have a good product with a unique selling proposition, such as Lindsay's reusable aluminum bottles. Lindsay highlights the growing demand for eco-friendly alternatives and the role of businesses in addressing environmental challenges. Lindsay also shares innovative sustainability strategies, including carbon offsetting, reusable packaging, and collaborations with sustainability-focused organizations, providing inspiration for businesses seeking to adopt more sustainable practices. We talk about customer engagement and marketing tactics. You'll gain insights into effective customer acquisition and engagement tactics such as social media marketing, influencer partnerships, and aligning with the values of the eco-conscious consumers out there like you and me. Product development and ingredient sourcing is something we also talk about. You'll learn about Plain Products' approach to product development, including sourcing, packaging design, and the importance of transparency in communicating with customers about sustainability practices. Lindsay also shares her entrepreneurial journey and lessons learned with Plain Products, discussing the challenges, successes, and key lessons she's learned along the way. She offers valuable insights for aspiring green entrepreneurs like you or those who want to green their business. While Lindsay shares her entrepreneurial journey with Plain Products, she discusses the challenges, successes, and key lessons learned along the way. She offers valuable insights for aspiring green entrepreneurs and anyone who wants to green up their business. Lastly, and then I'll get to the interview, she discusses the power of collaboration and partnerships. We explore the benefits of collaborating with like-minded brands and organizations within the sustainability business community. She highlights the importance of building mutually beneficial relationships to drive positive change. We love those win-win-win. The business wins, the business's partner wins, and the consumer wins. Win-win-win. All right, let's get on to the show.
Lindsay McCoy is co-founder and CEO of Plain Products, which offers premium personal care products in aluminum bottles that can be returned, refilled, and reused. She was inspired to start Plain Products after spending 10 years working on environmental education in the Bahamas, islands full of single-use plastic. I think that's an understatement. All of the products are vegan, non-GMO, cruelty-free, biodegradable, color-safe, and free of parabens, sulfates, and toxins, good for the body and the planet. Based in the USA, Plain Products is a B Corp and a member of 1% for the Planet. Lindsay has a master's degree from the School of Public and Environmental Affairs from Indiana University. She is currently on the board of Plastic Ocean Project and a volunteer for Citizens Climate Lobby. Lindsay, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Anne. Thanks so much for having me.
I know you're a very busy person, so maybe we could get more in a nutshell about your business. I'd love to hear about your work in the Bahamas to start off with, that pivotal moment with that single-use plastic.
Sure. When I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, when you wanted to do good in the world, you did not go into business. You did something else. And so I thought I was going to go into government, ended up getting frustrated with the pace when I did some internships and decided to go into the nonprofit world, which was phenomenal. I had a wonderful 20 years working for a community foundation. My husband's from the Bahamas, so I ended up in the Bahamas and did environmental education work there. And through that, I got to go to some absolutely lovely places with scientists, and I would find plastic. And I got to do beach cleanups with kids, and I would find plastic. And I got to go to dumps, and I would find piles of plastic. And so personally, I just started wanting to use less plastic because I knew where it was going to end up. And when I heard there could be more plastic than fish in the ocean by 2050, I was like, oh, all right, I can see it here. We don't have the infrastructure in the Bahamas to make things disappear the way that we do in the U.S. So I started skipping the straw, carrying the reusable bags, the reusable water bottles, but I couldn't find a solution for my hair. And the plastic bottles in my shower were just really irritating me. So we decided in 15 to move back to the States. And I called my sister and said, hey, the world has changed. Business is now a place that you can do good. What do you think about starting a business and trying to solve all of these plastic bottles in my shower?
That's so funny that you say that business and doing good in the world didn't go hand in hand, because I grew up at the same time you did. And that's exactly how I was brought up. That's exactly how I felt. And today, doing a 180 on that, we are the solution, right? Mm-hmm. Solution to the problems. That's awesome. When you started, was part of your business plan to have the returnable bottles that you do? You have aluminum bottles and you return them?
That was the whole plan. So again, my age, I was inspired by Netflix originally. You got the DVD, you watched the DVD, you sent the DVD back, you got another one. And I was like, why can't we do that with bottles? Why do we have to keep throwing them away? Yeah, the whole idea was all about reuse and refill. And shampoo, conditioner, body wash, which is what we started with, was just a vehicle to test that model. Something that people use every day, something that, you know, but lasts long enough that you don't have to constantly be refilling it. It was a good fit for both of those things. We now have 16 different products that are all using that model. And I learned along the way about the importance of clean ingredients and not putting a bunch of chemicals on our body. But yes, the impetus and the main driver has been that reusable packaging.
Okay, great. So you came up with the idea. You wanted to do it. You called your sister. She was all in, I think. That's what I got from what you just said.
Well, neither one of us knew what we were getting into at the time, which was probably important.
So did either one of you have experience? You know, you formulate your own products, I assume?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
No. Okay.
We thought about it, and happily, we decided not to. It took a long time. So I had this idea in 2015. We didn't actually open until 2017. It took about a year and a half to find packaging that would work, and then learn enough about products to realize we should not be making our own products, and find a manufacturer who was willing to work with us, who had products that we liked, and who was willing to let us reuse bottles, all of which took some time.
Gotcha. Yeah, so that's a huge challenge, right? So how did you go about finding a manufacturer? A lot of trial and error, a lot of internet research,
a lot of asking questions. Who else do you know? Who do you think would try this? What do you think about this? Have you met a lot of just networking and talking to people and learning a lot about ingredients and testing products? And
I'm curious, was there an option for you to maybe hire a consultant or somebody to help you with that?
There was, but we are very much bootstrapping it at this point, and we're trying to figure it out. Nobody at this point was doing any reusable packaging, so we were making that all up as we went along. And we just wanted to start with a minimally viable product, which is what we did. So we ordered as few as we could possibly order of one set of shampoo, body wash, and conditioner, and went from there.
How did you validate that product? Did you give it to like friends and family? Did you sell it on Shopify? How did you start off?
Yeah, definitely as we were testing products, friends and family, our kids, us, we were testing all the samples that we were getting. And then we launched a website, and we actually used WooCommerce, not Shopify. Shopify wasn't able to do all the things that we needed it to do in 2017 when we started. So when we sell the product, we make a pump optional. So you get the product, you get a pump, you put it on. And then when you come back, you let us know if you need a pump or not. And you let us know if you need a return label. So we send a refill bottle and that return label. You use that same package to send the empty bottle back to us. And then we wash and refill the product. And that took a little bit of custom coding. And that was the first person we brought on was a web designer who was a good friend and who's still with us today. to help us figure out how to make a website do that.
So having a co-founder is great, and it can also be challenging. And then being your sister, it could be really great or really challenging. How'd you guys go about splitting up the responsibilities?
Well, I will say that in our case, happily, we have very complementary and very different skills. And we are each very clear about what the other one is good at and where our weaknesses are. So my sister has a background in interior design, has a very strong sense of style, smell, product. I am a problem solver and just want to get stuff done. So she says she would have never launched a company, and I would have launched way too soon with a label that looked like a kindergartner did it with products that were probably subpar. So between the two of us, she kept pushing to get different manufacturers, kept pushing on the label. I just kept pushing to launch. And she manages the warehouse, the packing, the shipping, the receiving. And then I manage the rest of it, the sales, the website, the social media, the partnerships, the podcasts, the PR. Yeah. So it's a great division of labor for us.
Awesome. Not that this has anything to do with anything, but I'm just curious, what's the age difference between you and your sister? Are you close in age or is it a big difference?
I am 3 years older than her. So pretty close in age.
That's very close.
Yeah.
I just think it's really interesting how siblings have different skills, but different,
she says,
different ways of doing things.
I agree that we both end up at the same place. We just get there differently. And I think that's really important. We both agree on why we started the business, what matters to us about it, what kind of lifestyle we want with the business, what our values are. But then we prioritize different things within it. So it works out really well in that we both agree on the end and we know which one of us to listen to when it comes to the decisions we need to get to make it there.
Oh, that's great. So let's go back to, I was asking before about validating the product. You said you got a website, you got the price. How did you know when this was going to work? Like when was a pivotal moment that said, I think we got it down. We got the right products, right packaging.
I think the moment that we felt successful was the moment at which someone that neither one of us knew bought something off the website. You're like, oh no, I know that person. Oh no, I know how they found it. Oh yeah, that's a friend, cousin, whatever. And then when we saw somebody that neither one of us could track how they had found us on the internet and actually purchased something. And then as far as right packaging, all of that, the language, the packaging, continues to be a work in progress. We've redone the bottles a few times. We've upgraded the labels. We've changed how we explain the process. We've redone the web. Everything else is just a constant iteration and attempt at improvement and learning.
Are they all made out of aluminum?
They are. All the bottles are made out of aluminum. They have a liner in them to make sure that there's no aluminum getting into the products. But yes.
So that's got to be a plus definitely for shipping costs, right? Because aluminum is very lightweight.
It is. It's not as light as plastic, but it is lighter than stainless or glass and holds up really well. And once we have reused them as many times as we can, the nice thing about aluminum, easily recyclable. So when you do recycle plastic, unfortunately, the way they do it, it's melted down and it's only reusable once, maybe twice before it has to go into a landfill anyway. And aluminum can be recycled pretty much infinitely. They melt it down and just turn it into more aluminum. So it's great for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, we need to go back to aluminum for a lot of things, in my opinion. Can you share with us some other challenges that you found along the way? Challenges where you got knocked down and
all the challenges. We tried to use stainless steel. We designed these adorable stainless steel mason jars, and then they rusted because they weren't actually real stainless steel. And it turned out that we could not afford real stainless steel, at least not at a price point that anybody would pay. And that was a dark time when we had invested and spent all this time, and then it just didn't work. And we had to go back to the drawing board and push the launch date. And yeah, I think there have been lots of bumps along the way. We saw a huge increase in sales during the pandemic when everybody was shopping online. And then, like many e-commerce companies, saw a drop off once people could go back out into the world and back to stores. And we've worked very hard to forge relationships with refilleries and independent grocers around the country to come back up from that. And I'm happy to say that we have. But yeah, always a challenge in small business.
Always challenged. What did you have? This is it. We just can't make it. And maybe your sister or you like had the pep talk and got the other one going.
That is a lovely thing, at least for us, about being co-founders is we take turns with that. We both had days where it's just not worth it. And at least thus far, the other one has always been like, no, we're going to figure this out. We're going to keep going. And that has been a lovely thing to have somebody that's as invested as you are, as wonderful as my husband and her husband and friends and family. Like, there's nobody else who is really in it with you as much as a co-founder. And for them to say, no, we're going to figure this out means a lot more.
That's great. There's no I in teamwork, huh? Can you share something with our listeners that could help them with their business, whether it's starting a business or the mindset that you're just talking about? We don't all have great co-founders, or validating an idea or funding. You had said that you bootstrapped your business, sourcing projects. Man, there's a lot, but maybe just like one thing you could share that could help somebody wanting to start their own business.
Yeah, I think having an idea, putting it out there, and having the confidence to do that, but then not being so attached to it that you don't hear what people are saying and aren't being willing to listen and learn and iterate and change as you go. Because an idea is an idea, and it can be great until it hits the reality of it. And then you have to respond to those people who you want to give you money for the product. And I think it can be very easy to get so attached to something that you've worked so hard on that it's hard to hear people say, I don't love this, or it'd be great if we had this tagline when we started, join the packaging revolution. And that meant absolutely nothing to anybody, it turns out. Nobody cared about packaging. Nobody knew what I was talking about. And I had, okay, that was not a great idea. Let's try something else. So there's a fine balance between being confident enough to put it out there and try, and then curious and open enough to say, okay, now how do we make it better? What changes do we need to make?
Gotcha. Thank you for that. One of the things I love about your company is that you are a certified B Corp. That's amazing. Do you think that's something that people need to have in this day and age? Or just the practices?
Both. Coming from the nonprofit world, I did have some experience with management and some other things, but I personally really wanted a framework that I could feel good about as we were setting up a business. And I'm very grateful to B Corp for providing that. There's a list of things that they want you to do and a list of questions you have to answer. And it pushes you to create policies and procedures that you probably would not have committed to paper, to answer questions, to think about things, to know that when you recertify in 3 years, they're going to be asking you about it again. And I found all of that very helpful. I wish that it was something that you had to have to do business. I really do think it would level the playing field if everybody had to do all of those things and take them into consideration. But I do think it is growing as a movement. And there are a lot of people that are working hard to make sure that there's an understanding of what that B means and how much work goes into it. And I will say it is real. There's a lot of certifications out there that are check the box and sign your name and promise that you're doing good. But they really put you through the ringer on many different areas. And I know when I see that I can have a level of comfort that the company is, none of us are perfect, but at least doing the best that they can.
That's interesting, because when I see a product that says certified B Corp, that adds to my decision-making process. But I've talked to other founders who say nobody knows what that means or nobody cares. And I'm hoping, as you say, that's been changing over the years.
Well, I think it takes all of us to help it change. There's a lot of choices as small business owners of certifications out there. We picked this one because it's expensive, but it's reasonably priced compared to some other ones. I like that it covered a lot of different fields. It's governments, it's governance, it's employees, it's your effect on the environment, it's source. To me, it was a good mix of everything instead of going and getting a ton of different other certificates. And I think we all have a responsibility to talk about why we did it and hopefully promote it and build that movement together.
Awesome. So as you said, there's a lot of certifications out there, and you do have a couple more. Another one is We Are Neutral.
Yeah, that's carbon offsetting. That's a voluntary choice that we make to offset the shipping that we do with the products. And there are, again, a lot of options out there. I like this one. They're US-based. I've met the founder. They're actually working really hard to make sure that it's just not like a bunch of the same trees being planted in a field somewhere that will fall down or die 3 months from now. So they work very hard to choose truly impactful products. And I appreciate that. It's interesting. There's a female founder. And I have found, as we've grown and met, that there are a lot of women working in this space. And usually the most interesting companies are founded by women that are really solving actual problems and offering real solutions and not just marketing and some buzzwords. So that has been a fun thing about getting involved in sustainable businesses.
Yeah, that's great. I won't make any more comments about men versus women.
Too, but I will just say usually in business world, it's usually tends to be more
men.
Specifically in this niche, as I find companies and I'm like, oh yeah, started by a woman, or a woman is a co-founder, or a woman's running. I have seen a lot more women in this space, and it is, it's interesting.
I agree. I was trying to make a joke. I guess it didn't go over too well. Oh, so you also do 1% for the planet?
We donate 1% of revenue, which is different than profit. So all the money we take into environmental causes. And again, as a nonprofit girl, I think it's important to support nonprofits who are working in the space. So we work with a lot of plastic specific nonprofits that are either working on policy or working on education or working to get plastics out of the environment. Yeah, it's something I think that's important to do.
And then the last one I'm going to ask you about, which is, I'd say my favorite because I haven't heard of it before. On your website, you have that you were a winner of the Reusies.
Yes. So there is a great group called Upstream, and they work on a lot of reusable policy, pull together a lot of working groups, support education around reuse. And so they started hosting the Reusies every year, awards for businesses and individuals and nonprofits that are working in this space of refill, reuse. And yeah, the first year we were the fan favorite, which was super fun. That's how that turned out. Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Let's dig deep into your products, so the different products you have and the awesome scents that you have. You use a lot of lavender, right, in your products?
We do. We started with a rosemary mint vanilla. And then the second scent that we added is citrus lavender. And again, those are all my sister. We walked into a room with our manufacturer and there was 100 scents on the wall. And I was like, nope, let me know when you've narrowed it down to a few and I'll happy to give it. But that's something that she did. But I think she made some great choices.
And do you get good feedback from your customers?
Yeah, I think so. It's impossible to please everyone, especially with scents. We use all essential oils and natural-based fragrance and don't hide things behind the word fragrance, which cosmetic and beauty companies are allowed to do, unfortunately. I think so. We've added a sage scent. We have a 2-in-1 hair and body wash, and everything's pretty light, which is my preference. I can't handle a lot of products. And then we've added an unscented line based on some feedback of people who were just looking for as simple as they could get. So
nice. We have a beautiful website. Sorry. And yeah, I'm looking at all your different products, shampoo, conditioner, body lotion, body wash, hand wash on those nice aluminum bottles with the pumps. I guess some of them have pumps, or you can buy the pump, as you said earlier. But then you also talk about the outer packaging of your product.
Yeah. So we send things in cardboard box. And we, again, invested in making those boxes thicker than normal, both to protect those aluminum bottles so they didn't get dented or dinged along the way, and also so we could reuse the boxes. So we reuse each box around 5 times, just keeping it going again as much as possible and then recycling it at the end. Recycling is great, but that takes energy, that takes resources. So the more that we can reuse it without having to recycle it and create a new one, the better for everybody.
Yeah, that's great. And so you don't need to have any kind of liner in there in case anything leaks because you have it in the...
No, I do leak from time to time. And unfortunately, that usually means that box needs to get recycled. But to us, it was more important that the box could be recycled instead of putting a liner in it, which would make it less likely to be recycled.
Gotcha. And you have a subscription plan?
We do. But- and I would highly recommend anybody who can that's starting a business to offer that option. It's a little bit more of a pain in the setup. And it's a little bit more of a pain if you run out of something temporarily or you want to make some changes. But as far as recurring revenue, it is a godsend. It's just to have that money that's just coming in every month that all you have to do is help keep your customers happy has been a huge gift. And happily, people like the products. We have a very low churn rate. Most people that get a subscription tend to stay for a while, which is wonderful.
Yeah, that's great. What did you say? How long did the bottles last? The aluminum bottles?
We're honestly still figuring it out. I think I mentioned that we've changed a few times. When we started, we were painting the labels on the bottles, for lack of a better description, and they were chipping off and flaking, and we were losing about 20% of the bottles to that. And so now we are testing We had our most popular products, our shampoo and conditioner. We actually had the labels printed in the aluminum when they were being made, like a soda can. And so those are holding up great. And then we're reusing the other bottles. We're putting a label over the top of it and reusing them that way. So we're on our, I think our third round with those bottles that we printed on that now we've covered in a label. And we're on our second round, I think, with the printed, but they're both still going, TBD. But I think life cycle assessments are an art more than a science at this point, depending on what you're counting and how you're estimating and all of that. There are some estimates that as long as we use them three times, we've the equivalent of plastic, we break even. I think that that's a good baseline. But yeah, we're hoping for 5 to 10.
Awesome. And that's definitely your unique selling proposition with the reusable bottles. Do you have competition out there? Are other people doing it as well?
Not a lot. Not as many as I'd like, actually. I think the more people that do it, the more just awareness about a different way to buy products. This is how we used to buy a lot of our products back in the 40s, 50s, until disposable.
We weren't alive.
We were not alive back then. That's what I've heard. That's what history tells me. No, but so there are some people that are slowly moving into it. You actually see more aluminum bottles now than you used to, but not very many people taking them back. There are a Blue Land and some other models out there where you they'll ship you the like a tablet and then you can mix it with water for cleaning solutions. Yeah. People are like, oh, why don't you do that? And I'm like, because a spray for your counter is a little bit different than a shampoo for your hair. Our products are aloe based. So adding water wouldn't quite get the same effect as it would for cleaning. So I do use that kind of stuff for cleaning, but thus far we haven't found a great solution other than what we're doing. But yeah, I think it's slowly, reuse is slowly gaining traction out there in the world. And the more that people experience it in different ways, whether it's getting a refill, I actually, at Circle K the other day, I saw that they were encouraging people to buy a cup and then just reuse it every time at the soda fountain. And I was like, okay, maybe there's hope that you're starting to see at least that awareness creep into other parts of your day.
It's one thing I love about this area, sustainable businesses. Like you said, I asked you about competition and you said you wish there was more competition. That's awesome. When do you hear somebody say, a bank, I wish there was more competition for our customers?
Well, certainly I feel, and we work closely with a lot of other sustainable companies, whether it's cross marketing or giveaways or other things, talking about ideas. We see ourselves, I think, as more collaborators of trying to move people away from cheaper products in disposables with lots of chemicals in them towards safer ingredients, better packaging, more thoughtful, better companies. So I think all of us feel, even if we sell products that are typically competition, that really we're on the same general team of trying to help the planet and the people out a little bit. So yeah, I'm good friends with a shampoo bar company and we refer people to each other all the time.
Oh, that's great. Fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about marketing. How do you get your customers? What's your number customer acquisition
tool? The world continues to change. When we were getting started, 2017, 2018, Instagram was still a place where you could grow without having to give them money. So we were very lucky in that. We were able to do a lot of growth early on. Unfortunately, now we are to a place where if you want people to see your things, you have to pay to play on most platforms, which is harder for startups, harder for smaller businesses. I think we missed the window on TikTok for that, but I think some other people were able to catch that a little bit later. I'm not sure. I think now that the problem is that there isn't a new thing that everybody's using. There's lots of little things, which requires a lot of time and effort to figure out where you fit, where your audience is. We work a lot with influencers as well as other sustainable companies. As I mentioned, a lot of cross-marketing. We're doing something with Clean Cult right now, which is another company that's using aluminum bottles and working on trying to figure out how they can incorporate reuse into what they're doing. And when we work with influencers, we have pretty high standards about that they talk about sustainable products or clean ingredients or reuse. We have found just because somebody has 3 million followers, if they're not talking about the things that we care about, it really doesn't help if they put a picture of us up. There has to be people that are looking for that information, looking for that messaging. It's not just enough to have it out there.
And how do you find those people? Do you use an outside company to help you? Or are you and your sister dinner looking for influencers?
There was a time when, yes, that was the case. Happily, we are big enough now that we have some great people on our social media team. And we have wonderful customers who tell us where they heard about us or recommend people. Or there was somebody actually on TikTok the other day that said, oh, I'm looking for a new shampoo company. And somebody shared it with me and several people had already recommended us that were wasn't anybody that worked for us. We did reach out to them. But yeah, I think being active, being engaged on social media really makes a difference. And that's how we find people. We move in those circles of zero waste, clean beauty, sustainability, and find people who we like what they're doing and what they're saying.
So social media, being on podcasts, what else do you do to market your company?
A lot of SEO work. So have a blog on the site, make sure that we're trying to put out interesting, helpful content, gathering emails where we can, and using email marketing is a great, again, like subscription is just a nice, reliable source. So if you're going to do a sale or launch a new product, it's a great channel to let people know that you control and that you don't have to pay to make sure that somebody sees it. I think those are probably, and then partnerships.
Partnerships. And how would you advise people to go find those partnerships? Listen to podcasts?
I think the most important thing in any partnership is that alignment. Early on, we would do different giveaways or other things, and we would get a lot of flack if maybe the company wasn't as aligned with us. Maybe something was plastic or maybe something was not a great ingredient. And our customers would be like, what are you doing working with them? And I was like, oh, okay, sorry. You learn. Again, you apologize, you learn, you do better. And so for us, it's really, again, about that alignment. Are their customers our customers? Do we have confidence in the things that they're saying and doing? Do we like the products? All of that is really important.
Thanks for sharing. Let's see. Do you have a resource you could share with listeners that could help them maybe get ideas for a business, start a business? This could be a book, a website, an app. Anything to help them on their journey to find their purpose for the planet.
Yeah, I think there's still lots of room in the sustainability world for more products. It is hard to do it just based on ingredients. And I think every star seems to have started a personal care line during the pandemic.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's got a lot more crowded.
How do you compete with them?
It's tough. But really, as you said, the reuse piece is how we compete, something that other people aren't doing. Yeah, I think the importance of starting a business is looking for something that's different, something that you're not seeing other people offer. And clean ingredients isn't enough anymore to do it. I think it's got to have something else, whether that's some sort of convenience or some sort of extra sustainability push or reuse. There's got to be something. Customization. And then I was actually going to look and see who wrote it, but I was recommended as we were getting started this book called Minimally Viable Product. And it was a guide to just getting something out there. And I should have looked it up before. And I think his name is Reed. I'll send it to you. I don't want to spend too much time. But yeah, I think that for me, it was a good guide to just that idea that we were talking about earlier of getting something, getting some version of it together and putting it out in the world in some way so that you can get feedback on it. Because it's super easy in your bubble to think that you have an amazing idea and it's important to test the reality of it.
Yeah, for sure. How many great ideas have we all had in our heads, right? Waking up and be in the shower or something, you have this great idea, and then you sit at the computer and
think the other part to that though is then that piece of perseverance. I will tell you, any great idea, you're gonna hit roadblocks, otherwise it would have been done. You have a great idea, you sit down, and then pretty quickly you're like, oh, here, these are the three main reasons nobody else is doing this. And then you got to figure out if you can or will or want to do those things. That's had to buy a dishwasher, and we have to deal with bottles coming back, and we have to wash them. And it's not rocket science, but it's a pain. And so it's something that...
Not glamorous?
Sadly, not glamorous. Ask my sister. No. She is very strong. But it's what we do to be different. It's why people choose us over some other great companies. And that's made the difference for us.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. You've been very generous with all your advice. let's tell everybody your website and your social media where they can find you and buy your awesome product.
So it's Plain Products, Plain with an E, P-L-A-I-N-E. My sister and I share the maiden name of Della Plain. So it's an homage to that. Our dad had a lot of small businesses when we were growing up. And then also this idea of a plain and simple solution. So again, nothing crazy, just wash the bottles. Yeah, so plainproducts.com. And then on all the socials, it's at Plain with an E Products.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again, Lindsay. I really appreciate your time. And I know the listeners do too.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I always appreciate getting to talk about what we do and why.
I really hope you enjoyed the interview with Lindsay McCoy of Plain Products. And I really hope as well that you gained some valuable insight into starting your own green business or greening your existing business. Throughout our conversation, Lindsay shared invaluable insights into her journey of starting and growing her sustainable business, emphasizing the importance of aligning values with business practices and the challenges and rewards of pursuing environmental sustainability in the consumer good industry. Here are some key takeaways and advice from the episode. First, identify a niche. Find a gap in the market where sustainable practices can make a difference, like Plain Products identified the need for reusable packaging in personal care products. Two, stay true to your values. Align your business practices with your environmental values. Third, innovate in packaging. Explore alternatives to single-use plastics. Fourth, build partnerships. Collaborate with like-minded businesses and organizations to amplify your impact. And number five, listen to consumer feedback. Pay attention to customer preferences and adapt your products and practices accordingly. Number six, embrace challenges. Starting a green business comes with its challenges, such as finding sustainable solutions and navigating the market. And lastly, persevere. Building a sustainable business takes time and effort. Stay committed to your vision and preserve through obstacles to create lasting change. And I'm sure you have other takeaways that you've gotten from this episode. Those are just ones that I wanted to point out to you guys and gals. As promised in the beginning of the interview, here are some green business ideas from this episode that we've come up with for you. All right, number one, reusable packaging solutions. You can develop a business focused on providing reusable packaging solutions for various products, just like Plain Products aluminum bottle model. This could include bottles, containers, bags, or other reusable packaging options for personal care products, household items, or food products. Number two, natural and sustainable product lines. Create a line of personal care or household products made from natural and sustainable ingredients. Third, partnerships and collaborations. Start a business that fosters partnerships and collaborations with other sustainable brands or organizations to amplify your impact and promote environmental awareness. This could involve joint marketing campaigns, product collaborations, or shared initiatives to tackle environmental issues. Number four, subscription-based models. Launch a subscription-based business model for eco-friendly products. This could include curated boxes of sustainable goods, refill services for household essentials, or eco-conscious lifestyle products delivered regularly to subscribers. Number five, green marketing and influencer partnerships. Start a marketing agency or consultancy specializing in green marketing strategies for sustainable brands. You can offer services such as influencer partnerships, social media management, and content creation focused on promoting eco-friendly products and initiatives. All right, that's it for this episode. We hope you found inspiration and practical advice in Lindsay's story. Be sure to check out Plain Products at plainproducts.com. And that's plainproducts.com, P-L-A-I-N-E products.com.
And you can get the show notes for this episode at greenbizpod.com/PLAINE, which will include all the links mentioned in this episode. All right, I hope you join us next time for more conversations with green business leaders who are making a positive impact on our planet. Remember, every small change counts. Thanks so much for listening to the Green Business All-Star Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, I'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, like, and or follow the show on your favorite podcast app. Also appreciate it if you would leave us a review to help us share our mission and the mission of our guests to make the world a better place while sustaining a comfortable lifestyle. Peace to the planet, people, and making a profit.